Focus Features presents Piece by Piece, a first-of-its-kind Lego movie event. The story of revolutionary artist Pharrell Williams turns up the volume on your imagination with a big-screen experience like no other. Discover what it takes to build the greatest music ever assembled with a star-studded lineup. Snoop Dogg, Kendrick Lamar, Gwen Stefani, Justin Timberlake, Jay-Z, Busta Rhymes, Daft Punk, and more. Piece by Piece, rated PG, directed by Morgan Neville, opens October 11th in theaters everywhere. Get tickets at piecebypiecefilm.com.
Joseph, I feel like this past week and the past few weeks in hip hop have been pretty wild. How would you describe it?
Chaos. Just utter chaos.
That's Joseph Ferguson. He's a TikTok host and producer at The Post. And like me, he's been glued to his phone watching one of the biggest beefs in rap history unfold in real time. For the uninitiated, a hip hop beef is like a competition. Rappers release songs called diss tracks that show off their lyrical prowess by essentially insulting the other rapper. These feuds are an essential part of hip-hop culture. Rap battles have been around since the dawn of the genre 50 years ago. But this beef in particular has captivated hip-hop obsessives and even casual fans, unlike any other beef we've seen in a very, very long time. And that's because it's between the two biggest rappers of this moment, Kendrick Lamar and Drake.
Being a fan of both of these guys for so long, it finally feels like this thing that's been brewing in the background is coming to a head. And even people who aren't even invested in rap music, who really only know Kendrick for his Pulitzer Prize, are commenting on it. So it's just been a real mixing of my worlds.
Over the past few weeks, Kendrick and Drake are releasing so much music in just a short matter of time that it's set fans in a frenzy. In these songs, in their lyrics, they are taking shots at each other. They're also leveling some pretty wild accusations, and these are being picked apart by people all over the world. And this comes while there are questions about the continued dominance of rap as the biggest commercial genre. Last year, just a couple of rap songs topped the Billboard 100 charts. But now,
you see a genre reinvigorated. You see listeners hungry for more and really listening for more. So I think just like a return to some of like the core tenets of what rap music is has reignited the genre in a way that I could never predict.
From the newsroom of The Washington Post, this is Post Reports. I'm Elahe Izadi. It's Saturday, May 11th. Today, Joseph explains how the fight between Kendrick and Drake went nuclear and what this could mean for the future of hip hop. So, Joseph, before we get into the intricacies of this particular feud, this rap beef, can you just remind us who Drake is and who Kendrick Lamar is? Like, just place for me their standing within hip-hop and broader culture and why it matters that these are the two people who are beefing right now. So let's just start with Drake really quick.
Yeah, I think Drake is such an interesting phenomenon within rap music. His real name is Aubrey Drake Graham, Drake being his middle name. And I think he's just a very unlikely person to come out of rap music. Like, he is a biracial Canadian child star who was on Degrassi. But he truly transcends almost everything you think rap music could be and has elevated the genres to somewhere I think the forefathers or the people who've invented it could not possibly imagine. This one's for you. Baby, you my everything. You all I ever wanted. We could do it real big. Drake kind of came out in, I'll say in 2009, and he got signed to Lil Wayne. And from there, with the backing of Lil Wayne, he was like a very poppy, sad boy era where we're kind of like, it was kind of counterculture to rap music at the time.
Like that hard image.
Exactly. Where like you were meant to be tough. And he's like, no, I'm not. I'm sad sometimes.
Yeah. So sad boy Drake.
Exactly.
So what about Kendrick? Can you just remind us when he became very well known nationally, like where he's from, how would you describe his career?
Yeah. Kendrick is someone who's from, he's from Compton. And I would say that he's had a much more traditional rise within hip hop. Good Kid, Mad City is put up with one of the best albums of all time. Mm. Not just rap and not just in his class, music wise, one of the best albums of all time. Like the whole city go against me. Every time I'm in the street, I hear yak, 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 yak. Men down. I remember a bunch of West Coast legends, Dr. Dre, Game, Snoop Dogg, they anointed him the next one.
And as you said, he won a Pulitzer Prize.
He won a Pulitzer Prize, exactly, yeah. Exactly.
So he's like also accepted not just by the tastemakers and the grandfathers and godfathers of hip hop, but also just broader culture, right?
Yes, and I think that Pulitzer, it's really interesting you say that, that Pulitzer, I think, crossed him over to a different audience, too.
Interesting.
Not just rap fans, but literary fans as well.
Yeah, yeah, the broader culture.
Yeah.
So now let's get into how this beef between Kendrick and Drake started. Where's the origin of it? And just take us up to today.
Right. So there was, in 2013, there was a song by Big Sean called Control, and Kendrick was featured on it. And Kendrick kind of called out all of his contemporaries by name and said, I have all the respect in the world for you guys, but I am the best artist here. I'm the best rapper. I make the best music. Just wanted to put that out in the air. And while Drake never directly responded to it, that kind of like started the tension between these two that finally came to a head here.
Did Drake ever take shots at Kendrick?
So the way Drake takes shots is very almost Jay-Z like. Well, he will say things that only you know apply to you.
Oh, is that what Jay-Z does?
Yes. Yes.
So like this diss is for you.
This is for you.
But no one else knows
it's for you. And it's gonna be a huge pop song. So if people are gonna hear it on the radio, they're gonna sing it in the clubs, but only you know I'm talking about you.
It's like a troll. Almost.
Yes, yes. And it makes you look crazy because you're like, he's talking about me. They're like, no, you're not.
Yeah, this is like a super popular song at the club.
Yeah.
Okay, so these two rappers started criticizing each other in their music more or less about a decade ago. So mm-hmm. Let's now come to today, because this feels like it just came out of nowhere.
Yeah.
How and when did this rap beef come back into, you know, our consciousness?
So there's been kind of like a cold war between the two of them, but Drake and J. Cole released a song called First Person Shooter in October of last year, and that really reignited this beef. Love when they argue the hardest MC. Is it K-Dot? Is it Aubrey or me? We the big three like we start. And on the song, J. Cole essentially calls he, Kendrick, and Drake the big three of rap music. The Mount Rushmore, if mm-hmm. you will.
Minus one.
Minus one. And Kendrick, on a later song called Like That, it was with Future, said there is no big three. It's just big me.
And we should say he said some other words in this song, which we are going to bleep.
My big three. It's just big me.
And that response was so pointed that Drake couldn't feign that he wasn't talking about him.
Okay, so it sort of sounds like at this point now we have almost like a championship fight brewing, if I'm thinking like in boxing terms. So then what was the response from Drake to that?
So you have to fast forward to April of this year, and Drake finally releases a song called Push Ups. And I think if we're going to stick with the fight analogy, it's not like the knockout everyone was expecting, but it was more of a like, I'm here, you have my attention, let's do this. And then in true Drake fashion, he releases another song before Kendrick even responds. And that song was called Tailor Made. Now, that song is interesting because there's like an AI element to it. Like he reenacts Tupac and Snoop Dogg's voice on the song using AI.
So he basically uses technology to mimic Tupac Shakur
yes.
on his song.
Yes.
And Snoop Dogg and Tupac Shakur is not alive.
Right.
That to me felt and seemed very controversial, right?
One, because that is one of Kendrick's idols.
So it's very pointed.
Very pointed. And in the song, he's using the voice of Tupac to encourage him to diss Drake.
I see. So it's like this manipulative.
Yeah.
So what was the response? I mean, is that even legal?
So the Tupac estate came to him and made him take down that song. He took down the song. Snoop Dogg really hasn't commented on the use of it, but it is no longer on streaming, and it is no longer on any official page of Drake's.
That's when I remember things got really crazy, and it eventually led to Kendrick coming out with a bunch of songs. So just walk me through what happened after that song Tailor Made came out.
So what happens next is, I think, one of the most like pivotal parts of this entire beef of the last 10 years. Drake drops his first diss song, Push Ups, and then we get 2 weeks of total silence from Kendrick. And that entire time, Drake is trolling him on Instagram. He's posting pictures of Kendrick's manager. He's posting memes, pictures of himself in Tupac's chains.
I mean, it's just kind of like high school trolling behavior.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And then finally, Kendrick releases Euphoria, a 6.5-minute, just scathing takedown of Drake. Ready to double the wage. I'd rather do that than let a Canadian make Pac turn in his grave. Everyone says, oh, wow, this is what we were waiting for. Then I think 3 days after that, Drake puts out a song called Family Matters.
You just acting like an activist is make-believe. Don't even go back to your hood and plant no money trees. Say you hate the girls.
He shot a video for it. The song is, I think, 7 minutes long. And not even 20 minutes after that, Kendrick comes again with a song called Meet the Grams. And Meet the Grams is a letter to every single one of Drake's nuclear family.
Oh, my gosh.
He's talking to his son about how his dad is a bad guy. His mom about how you must be sad that you raised him.
Sandra, sit down. What I'm about to say is heavy. Now listen. Your son's a sick man with sick thoughts. I think like him should die.
Devastating insult.
Devastating. Devastating.
Joseph, can you tell me more, just broadly speaking, about some of the criticisms, insults, the content of these songs? Like, what is it that they're saying about each other that has gotten so many people's attention?
Well, I think so there's all kinds of wild accusations being thrown around. I think, firstly, for Drake's part, he's accusing Kendrick of domestic violence.
When you put your hands on your girl, is it self-defense because she's bigger than you?
He is accusing Kendrick's son of not being biologically his, and that he and his fiance are separated. So these are all wild, wild accusations. And the Post has reached out to both Kendrick and Drake's team for a response, and they haven't responded. So for Kendrick's part, Kendrick is calling Drake a rap colonizer, saying he doesn't have a sound of his own, but he goes to different black touchstones of culture, uses their sound, uses their accents, and then just moves on to the next one.
You run to Atlanta when you need a few dollars. No, you're not a colleague, you colonizer.
He's insinuating that Drake has had multiple relationships with minors.
Trying to strike a chord, and it's probably a minor.
But also, as these songs have come out, after the ones we've just talked about, haven't there been even more songs? And also, like, these are just being released on the internet, right?
Even after the ones we talked about, there were two more songs that came out after that. And these don't have, like, official rollouts. Only one really had a music video. These are just being tweeted by the artist and put on streaming services. Like, these aren't, like, singles from an album or a record. These are just, they've gone into a studio with a producer they like, and after they're done, they tweet it out.
It seems like one of the reasons this beef has captivated so many people is because, yes, the content of what they're saying is salacious, but it's also touching on broader cultural themes like misogyny or just even this question of cultural appropriation that, you know, has been leveled, and Drake is being criticized of that by Kendrick. And it raises the question of, like, who is even allowed to make rap music and who's considered a real rapper. I'm wondering if that's also what you're seeing in your observation of what's going on.
Yeah, I think that, like, you know, messenger matters a lot, too. So even to your point about who's allowed to make rap music, I think that Kendrick is the person who people are most willing to hear this from, because he's got so much, so many passes from forefathers, and throughout his career has made such authentic hip hop music. His critique of Drake as a cultural colonizer is not that he's being performatively black. It's that he isn't enveloping himself in his own culture. He's saying, you are from Toronto. Be from Toronto. Embrace that. Use what they have to be a rap superstar. Don't go to Memphis, Atlanta, Jamaica.
But don't you think there's also been a critique of Drake's blackness?
Yes. And that's such an interesting point, because so you look at Drake being biracial, it's his blackness in the sense of how comfortable is he in that. From interviews and from his music, you see that Kendrick reads that he's not very comfortable being a black man. And that comes out in the music when you go from black culture to black culture in search of something more.
On the other hand, is there another view, and I wonder how you're reading between the lines of what Drake is saying, is that by defining and putting in a box and almost being the arbiter of what's considered authentic and who is, you know, black enough or not, that in of itself is problematic.
Yes. I mean, and even Drake will tell you, when he goes to these different places, he meets with the people who pioneered those sounds, who are steeped in that culture, and gets the go-ahead from them. He talks to them, he pays his respects, he pays his homage. Even when he does these hit records, he has those people on them too.
Mm.
So it's not like he's going in there sweeping up the culture and leaving. He's actually helping and putting these things on a higher pedestal, because he is, you know, the international rap star that he is.
I after the break, the history of rap beefs and whether this new one is good for hip hop. We'll be right back. Joseph, can you put into perspective the role that rap beefs have had in hip hop and how long have they been around?
Yeah, I think rap beefs have been around as long as rapping has. You know, when people talk about the origins of hip hop in New York, where it started as people battling on a street corner, and then DJs came in and said, my set is better than your set. I can spin records better than you can spin records. And I think that sort of competitiveness has pushed the genre forward in making more interesting music and saying more interesting things. So rap beef, whether not this explicitly, but the sense of competition is something that is as embaked in hip hop as a snare or a hi-hat is.
And what are some of the more prominent beefs that people might know about or should know about? I mean, the one that comes to mind is Tupac and Biggie, and maybe people just know about that because later on, both of those rappers ended up getting killed. But, you know, we can't attribute that to the beef, but I think their deaths just put attention on this, like, East Coast, West Coast rivalry. Are there any others that you would say are notable?
Yeah, I think one of the biggest ones that comes to my mind is Jay-Z and Nas. Like I was saying before, how Jay-Z will kind of needle you in a rap beef where like he'll just say little lines here and there over a course of however many albums. And just like the one that we were just discussing, Jay-Z and Nas said some pretty terrible things about one another to the point where like they couldn't be sat next to each other at award shows. There was a lot of tension. Even now, there's a theory that whenever Nas does something, Jay has to come out with like a freestyle just to like kind of take some of the attention off of him.
Yeah. And it also seems like in some beefs, it's not so much that these two people actually hate each other, but it's this sort of, you know, again, going back to the boxing metaphor, it's kind of like that too, right?
And I think that's what makes the Kendrick one stand out so much because he, throughout that beef, he really articulates, I don't like you.
Like he literally says
I hate and hate you for like 16 bars. He's like, this is personal. Whereas a lot of other beefs, they might not be as personal. They might just be that competitive spirit. Like I remember 50 Cent and Kanye went at it for a while. And that wasn't as personal, not nearly as personal as this one is.
So how has this rap beef differed from ones that we've seen before? You know, beyond just the personal nature and the like clear disdain these two people have for each other in a way that feels unlike the other ones.
Yeah, I think the thing that immediately comes to mind is scale. Jay-Z and Nas is kind of like my reference for like a big older beef. And they put out 2 songs in a year. And for this one, they put out 9 songs in like less than a month, I think. And it's incomparable. And these songs are longer. There's more depth to them. They're coming out faster. They're better produced. They're better mixed. So just like the ease of technology to make music and then distribute it has made this beef unlike any other.
So one of the big debates, obviously, is who is the most influential artist? What is your take on that? And, you know, the other obvious question is who is winning?
Yeah, I think overall it's really hard to say who the most influential artist is. I think if we're talking about the pop space and the pop rap space, Drake is definitely. Like, he's been around since 2009. And if you look at the Billboard Top 100 charts, Drake has the most hit songs out of any artist in the chart's 60-year history.
Wow.
That's undeniable.
Right.
That's undeniable. But if you're speaking to purists, Kendrick Lamar has been, you know, far and away the more influential rapper. So I think it really depends on what you're looking at, which makes this such a good matchup stylistically, right? Like you have the top pop rapper and you have the top rapper's rapper clashing to see which one would come out on top.
Joseph, I think the big question for me as a fan of hip hop is whether this beef is good or bad for hip hop. What do you think?
I think it's good. I think it's good for hip hop. I think that competitiveness is good in rap music. Obviously, I don't think the extent to which they took it is good, but I think directionally, the concept of a beef, I think is good for hip hop because it pushes you to be better. It pushes you to want to do more. And I think that Kendrick being such a student of rap music and coming to this conclusion that was like, I'm the best and I'm willing to prove it whenever, wherever, I think can only make his music better. Only sharpen his pen, only get better concepts, only pick better beats. And this makes me look at Kendrick Lamar differently. I think that before of this, we never saw him in a rap battle. We never knew what he would do.
Or this darker side of him.
Right.
Yeah, and I wonder if also it could be argued that it's good for hip hop, not so much because of the impact it's having on the artists, but the impact it's having on the fans.
Mm-hmm.
Because people are paying attention to lyrics and rhymes in ways that, you know, maybe they haven't in a long time.
Yeah.
So there's that. But then the flip side of it is, you know, there's another argument of this isn't good because a lot of people are just paying attention because the details are quite salacious.
Your point about lyrics is such a fantastic point. I like the fact that people are listening to lyrics and really understanding what these rhymes mean. And as long as it stays like that, as long as the music just stays music and it doesn't devolve into violence, I think that's a really positive thing.
So, Joseph, just zooming out, what do you think this beef means and how it will influence the music industry and hip hop as a whole?
You know, I think that so in 2023, rap listenership was at its lowest in a very long time. So I think this kind of really reinvigorated the genre. Really, two of the biggest kind of going at it, I think, lit a fire under everybody. So there are people who are just ready to work and ready to create, and an audience who's very hungry to listen and very hungry to, like, go see shows and really support their favorite acts.
Yeah, and it seems like part of it, too, is that so many people now are also just keyed in on this and paying such close attention to the lyrics and mm-hmm. the words and all of these choices, and that also is like the audience, it's influencing the audience.
Yeah. It's made a much more savvy audience, too, where, like, not only the words and the lyrics, but who's featured on what song, who's featured on whose album, who they align with. It's really breathed a new life into rap music, I think.
Well, Joseph, thank you so much for joining and explaining all this.
Of course. Thank you for having me.
Joseph Ferguson is a TikTok producer and host for The Post. On Tuesday, a security guard was shot outside of Drake's mansion in Toronto and was hospitalized with serious injuries. The motive is not known, and there is no evidence right now to determine whether this is connected to the feud. That's it for Post Reports. Thanks for listening. Today's show was produced by Sabi Robinson and Sean Carter, who also mixed this episode. It was edited by Ariel Plotnick. Thanks to Janae Kingsbury and Keith McMillan. I'm Elahe Izadi. We'll be back Monday with more stories from The Washington Post.